And right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. I know we have Cynthia on the line. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Janet Manco as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Okay. How are you? How is everyone?
All right. It's a little gloomy and dark out this morning, but what the heck?
I'm sorry. That's sun.
Yeah. The sun is out in Lime Rock. I'll just
give you some still gloomy.
Hope.
Still gloomy.
In Marshall's University, it's gloomy.
I look out the back. It's gloomier out back. There we go.
He's right.
All right. Well, we go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal for today, and you do have the first story up on the left-hand side by Patrick Sullivan. Cannon sound, bagpipes lament, the picture of the giant flag, and more than that was the recognition of the 20 years of September 11th.
Which is still very close to home for many people up here, including the many people, volunteer workers, firefighters, who went down to help in clearing out the rubble and in trying to find survivors or not. 20 years, and the group in North Canaan, led by Nick DeAngelis, I think, has been doing this, I think, since right after the terror attacks, and consistently every year, and sadly the list of lives lost grows longer every year, but of course especially meaningful this year on the 20th anniversary.
And right opposite that, there's a picture of Skipper Kosciuszko and Cornwall resident Richard Schlesinger, who had one of those amazing things that really he came through having a heart attack out in the middle of nowhere and being able to survive it.
Right, Richard Schlesinger, the CBS News correspondent, who I think has been a big part of local life, has always been, you know, active in Cornwall and especially with the Little Guild, but really felt what it means to be local when he was out taking a walk out on the roads around his house, fairly isolated part of Cornwall, and had a heart attack and was saved by a number of passersby, which is incredible since, you know, it really was not, he was well off the main roads. And so he has been very active in giving thanks to the workers who rescued him, not just the people who stopped and saved him, and not just the local fire volunteers, but also Litchfield County Dispatch, which is our local 911 service, the state police. Really extraordinary pulling together of all these different organizations.
Nice story with a great end. It's an interesting story by Lila Hawken, practicing on Lakeville's courts for an Olympic win.
If you play tennis and if you've been at the little town courts in Lakeville behind the gas station by the baseball field, there's three little courts. They're very well maintained. And if you're out there, you can often find literally world-class tennis going on, often because of Edgar Giffenink, who's a local coach. He came here to coach at Hotchkiss, and I think he's now coaching at Salisbury. He's also privately coaching and at the Norfolk Country Club. But he has many people who come here to him from around the world because he's such an incredible coach. And you'll often be out at these little courts in Lakeville and you'll see guys who are, you know, getting ready to go to the U.S. Open. So Marcus Daniel, during COVID, was here staying with his future in-laws, who are now his in-laws, Michael and Kathy Volstead, who own what used to be the Ragamon Inn, and was working out at the little courts in Lakeville, and went on to get a bronze medal in Tokyo at the Olympics. And Leela spoke to him, and his in-laws couldn't be more proud.
And right below that, a story by you, Cynthia, Understanding Town Plans, What They Are and Why They Matter.
There are many things, topics on which I'm completely a bore, and this is one of them, and it is the town plan. People just don't understand how important it is to preserving and protecting what they love about our northwest corner towns, which is often aesthetic and a sense of peace and space, and these things are all controlled by the planning and zoning regulations. So the state requires every town to update its town plan of conservation and development every 10 years. And what this is a roadmap for development in your towns. And if you're lucky, and if you have a good town plan consultant, such as Glenn Chalder, who I interviewed for this article, everybody comes out and they sort of say, like, you know, we don't really want to have light industry here. We don't really want to have traffic lights. We don't want to have so much parking. We want to have more parking. We want to have more public restrooms in the center of town. So this is the opportunity. Kent is now redoing its town plan. Glenn Chalder from Planimetrics is organizing it with them. Of course, it's more challenging in COVID. Most of it's been being done by online surveys, but Kent is a very active town. People are really taking part in it. But whether or not you live in Kent, you should read this article because your town will be coming up for its town plan soon. I think Cornwall just finished theirs. Kent is doing theirs now. I think the other four towns are due fairly soon to do those. So when you find out your town is doing the town plan surveys, definitely take part.
Yeah, it's a little hard to get into it because they go out, well, what is it, five and 10 years sometimes?
10 years, yeah. 10 years. It's every 10 years they have to and the state puts some teeth behind it by holding off on optional grants so that you get your education grants and your important grants, but for things like open space preservation and things like that, they'll say, like, no grants till you do your town plan.
You know, I was doing it's a roughly bi-monthly interview with Dr. Mark Hercote the other day, and I thought it was going to be on this update coming up, but Mark revealed right at the beginning of that update with me that he had a very, very significant case, breakthrough case of COVID-19. And he was double, he had his inoculations and everything like that. It was interesting to talk to him about it, about how sick he did get and missed 3 weeks worth of work. But we finally got to the topic which we wanted to talk about, which was there is another event coming up which will debut more Sharon Hospital's plans.
Right, that's coming up on the 29th. You can participate by Zoom. We have all the information on how you can log in. And they tantalizingly say it's regarding new investments and transformative plans for the future. So that sounds very exciting. We will, of course, be there. And I feel like Dr. Hercote got COVID the first time it came around, too, which really makes you realize, you work in a hospital, man. You really...
No, he missed it the first time around. But this one, he knew the minute he started feeling symptoms, and he was out of work for three weeks. And he says if he didn't get the vaccinations, he would have wound up in the hospital. So, but like I said, we got on to talking about the meeting which is coming up. Nice story about the Cornwall Ag Fair, and a nice little picture there with it as well.
Cornwall really in COVID and always in normal life, just goes out of its way to be the most picturesque, adorable old New England town. And the Ag Fair is part of that. And, of course, they have the famous cow poop contest, which Michael Pollan famously wrote about many years ago. But it really, for a town that's very sophisticated, actually, they really do go out of their way to sort of preserve and honor the traditions. And so they had their nice town picnic a little while ago. They've got their book sale coming up for the Cornwall Women's Society, my favorite tag sale, rummage sale of the year of the entire world is the Cornwall Women's Society annual rummage, which organizer Wendy Weinberger promises will be back next year. But the Ag Fair, adorable, and they were blessed with great weather, as seems to often happen for them.
And we've been talking about this project on and off for a while. There's finally going to be a vote on the West Cornwall Wastewater Project.
Right, and again, Cornwall is a town that is, there's a lot of conversation in the town. A lot of people really come to the meetings and they really watch their selectmen carefully, but that's a very well-organized town government, and they've been working very quietly and efficiently toward doing a septic system for the town, for the village of West Cornwall, which is where most of the retail and commerce is in Cornwall. So if you've been to Cornwall, chances are you've been to West Cornwall. So many, many years studying the best way for a little village on a river with old-fashioned lots that were done pre-zoning, and trying to figure out a way that they can protect the river, have septic, and possibly expand the commercial center there. The vote coming up on that November 20th.
All right. A story by Patrick Sullivan on, once again, people just want the clarification, rock-solid clarification of the liability of the affordable housing funds. In the end, who's responsible for that in Falls Village?
Right, and again, people really very active in Falls Village, and Daley Revelle had gone through the contracts very, very carefully for the affordable housing plan that's being started on River Road, and she found a line that said that if, for some reason, the project is not built in 7 years, then it's the responsibility of the town to refund the roughly $800,000 to the state for the federal funds that are being used. And so Lou Timmelot and Selectman Dave Barger went to the state directly and said, how do we handle this in a situation where we have no control over the Affordable Housing Group? They're not a committee of the town. And so they got some advice on writing a contract with the Affordable Housing Group so that it gives the town some oversight so that it avoids the potential problem of this property not being built and the town getting on the hook for a lot of money. And sorry about that long, complicated explanation, but it's all in the article from Patrick.
All right. And the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon is continuing on. They have Zoom receptions and tours of the library as they continue to raise funds for their renovation.
Right, and they're almost there. The amount of money they need is quite small, but people should still, you know, I think with any project like this, the more people can donate, the more there's a sense of community ownership on it, which is great. And again, kudos to the Sharon town government and to the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon under Director Gretchen Hochmeister, because this has been a very controversial project over the years, and they very quickly and quietly got the plans done, and now they're bending over backward to make sure everybody knows everything that's going on there, so that there's no complaints of like, oh, we didn't know about that. That was done in a dark back room.
Yeah, they definitely learned from their presentation many, many years ago of the overblown project, and they've been what a difference. And I'm so glad that it appears to be smooth sailing right now.
Right, very good board, very good directorship, and as you say, a lot of lessons learned.
Out and about at a Labor Day art sale in Cornwall.
Yeah, Cornwall is super busy and doing their best. And, of course, Cornwall was one of the towns that had early COVID, one of the few towns in our area that had, like, a case and super open about it. Like, the person who had it couldn't have been more open. She was on Instagram with it. She was on Facebook. But, you know, again, everybody's being very protective. Everybody's being very careful, but they're trying their best to keep some of their traditional activities out and about and make sure that neighbors get a chance to see neighbors, so they have their art sale.
You know, in our Tri-State region, we have a lot going on this weekend in Millerton. They have their first annual food festival, but also a tradition is going to continue in Salisbury, and that is the Clothesline Art Sale.
Right. I've already spoken to several artists who are taking part and are very excited about it, and it's Salisbury Family Services, who normally would honor one person every year who's been very important to the community. And they have honored artists in the past. I think they honored Ann Day about 4 years ago, the photographer who does so much for so many people in this town. And this year they decided that the best thing to do would be to have a big tent art sale on the green by the White Hart that's coming up this weekend. And no charge to the artists to participate. They get to keep all of the proceeds from everything that they sell. So do come out. There's going to be some amazing work.
And actually for the first hour for the sponsors of the event, they get first crack in the first hour, but after that it's open to everybody. Seems to me, if I remember, the Clothesline sale used to be a yearly sale going on. That's just in my limited memory of living around here, though I could be wrong about that.
I wonder
that.
If you're confusing it with the Sharon Craft Fair in the Green, which used to be the
No. There also used to be, I think, a business by the name of Clothesline. So I know it was Clothesline. So
all right, you're going to have to research this very carefully and get back to us.
I am going to
on our archive, the Lakeville Journal Archive at the Scoville Memorial Library.
I will look back at it.
My favorite place.
All right, now we'll go to the opinion pages. We'll first start off with the editorial: local treasures are public servants.
Yeah, I know that doesn't seem that. So it doesn't seem logical to many people now when you think about the people who serve to run our towns, state, and federal government. But, you know, this is something we really should think about, because we talk about the challenges here of anyone who is willing to serve in public office and what it means to the way they live, especially at the local level where it's often volunteer. You know, our school boards, our, you know, planning and zoning, these are really difficult positions to fill, and I don't think it'll get easier as time goes on. So for those people who do it, we are grateful. We talk about what they do and how they do it, and we're pointing out that, you know, as our readers will know, we're in the process of applying for nonprofit status, and if that does happen, before November this year, when the election occurs, we will not be endorsing any of these public servants, because that's something that will be taken off the table for us as a nonprofit entity. So that'll be a first in our memory that the Lakeville Journal doesn't endorse. And so we talk about, you know, how, of course, we still care, and we'll certainly do profiles of the candidates, but, you know, not endorsed.
It just changes. I think what it might do is also stir other members of the community to come in and with their political opinions and write letters and endorse as well.
Yeah.
So
and that we can certainly still.
Yeah. There's a flip side to that as well, and I think people will take advantage of that as well. By the way.
Yeah, they certainly have over the years. We've gotten lots of letters at election times, and certainly even just on September 16th, we got a lot of letters.
Well, I was going to say, let's forget about election time. Let's go to the letters page right now, because it's everything from the first letter that I went to was check public docs to know what's going on by Laura Warrens.
That's right, and this is in Falls Village, which Cynthia was just talking about at length and Patrick wrote about, and so do keep track of this, and Laura Warrens gives some really good advice to those who want to know more and where they can find it in public documents. So that's always a good thing to keep track of.
And then you've got a thank to Camp Helpers from Leslie Eliasis of the Grumbling Griffins.
Right. This is always, you know, anything that the Grumbling Griffins does is a lot of fun, and you know, it's great that they're able to do this in the wake of COVID, and they had their camp this year, and this was a wonderful performance where she is thanking everyone, because I think everyone sort of feels that any event that takes place now, it's so much more precious than before, because it's not a given that people will be able to pull these things off.
And once again, it shows you the type of the community we live in, thanking the caring community. We had the story about Richard Schlesinger, but someone who even had a car accident had the same thing happen to them, where locals just turn out to help.
That's right. Agneta Smith from Taconic. And really, she was so overwhelmed by how kind people were. And as she noted, there were multiple people, and some whose names she doesn't even know, but were so kind to her and made such a difference in her experience. So.
I liked my favorite story on turning back the pages. A new optical center opened in Lakeville this week on the triangle of land bounded by Farnham Road and Route 41. The proprietor is Daniel Longaven, a tall, friendly man with dark, wavy hair who took up residence
at Angel
West.
What year was that? What year? How many years ago?
50 years ago.
That's very handsome. So, I mean, it's within memory for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, but, me yeah. too. What are they going to say about you, Marshall?
It's already been said.
Well, you can define part of that yourself. You know,
but you turn the page and you've got the Salisbury Fresh Waterways letter, the bad behavior at a sale, justice making in the dark. I mean, a lot of letters this week.
Yes, and all different topics. We do have one political letter, but also from Robin Faust at Lee H. Kellogg School, the interim principal, talking about the National Day of Service, which, you know, it is a wonderful way for the schools to look at what can come out of something bad, you know, not the 9/11 attacks, and they made it into a National Day of Service, and this is what the schools focus on for these kids.
And Matt Gordon, the rise of the superweeds, we brought it on ourselves.
That's right, and so it's fascinating. Mac did a lot of research on this, and I think any of us who ever weed anything do a lot of research on it, you know. We're like, what the heck is this, when you're trying to pull something out? But he gives us a lot of good information and how to control them.
All right, and Cynthia, Compass has a whole bunch of different articles in it this week.
Well, we've got Ed Furman, and he makes an interesting point, which is he said there are lots of great war movies, but TV doesn't do a great job with dramatizing war. But, of course, on TV there's so much incredible documentary about war. But, of course, thinking about 9/11 and Afghanistan, he picked out two series, because he is our streaming columnist, that one I'd heard of, Band of Brothers, very famous, and a lot of young actors who went on to have very notable careers in it. And, of course, that was a Steven Spielberg-produced, Tom Hanks-produced program. But another one called Generation Kill that came out, I guess, in 2008 from HBO. And he says, Marines love the show and say it's 80% on the mark. So his reviews of those two programs and how to find them. There's a festival of Latina culture and food in Great Barrington coming up the weekend of the 25th, and coming up this weekend there's the Hudson Valley Gospel Festival, and of course this month and into October the Housatonic Heritage Walks, which are both outdoor sort of get out in the woods hikes, but also history tours and architecture tours this year.
And a lot of them are guided as well. Almost all of them are guided, so it's not like you're out there on your own.
Right, and that's part of the fun is, as a reporter, you have this experience too, is we get the opportunity to sort of spend time with people doing these incredible things, and I still talk about the joy that I got from running around in a Jeep with Ed Kirby, and so much of what I know about the region I know from those little Jeep outings with Ed, where he would just be driving by something and drop some story on you that was on the way to your actual destination. And so that's what you get when you go out on these tours with people, is you learn so much about our region and about the history of it and things that you can't see anymore, like the Cedars. I remember driving by in Lakeville with Ed Kirby what years ago was an enormous summer resort called the Cedars. You can't find a single stick of timber anymore that tells you it's there. So these hikes are definitely worth going on. And then the last article is, I've been growing raspberries. It's very hard to make raspberry jam. This is a very 1% problem, but the tendency is to overcook them and to overstir them, and then they lose all of their beautiful berryness. But I figured out a way to use gelatin, and I share my technique with you in this article.
An easier way to make raspberry jam, I'll tell you.
So easy.
When it comes to baking, you have to be precise. And when it comes to make jam making, other food cooking is recipes. You can bend one way or the other. But when it comes to making things like jam, canned tomatoes and stuff, you got to follow everything exactly. So
if you're going to do preserves, you have to really follow, because you don't want to get botulism. But that's the great thing about this gelatin jam is when you're using pectin, you have to use exactly as much sugar as they tell you and boil it for exactly as they long to tell you. But with the raspberry jam with the gelatin, it's much more loosey-goosey. You can use no sugar if you want, or a little bit of sugar, because you're gelling it with the gelatin, not the... So if you have diabetes or you're trying to cut back on your sugar, this is a perfect recipe for you.
So that's a recipe to look at. That and all the other things in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, tricornernews.com. We'll speak to you guys again next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com.